All right, so we're back on our normal Wednesday night schedule, which means we have a hard stop at 7:30. And so I'll be stopping us at 7:30, no matter how much or how little progress we make. And then also for this this next series of weeks that we're together, and we're doing these questions and answers. The questions are all submitted by you, so I'm just responding to your questions. But as we go through these questions, what I'm hoping is that this will be less of me lecturing and more of us having a discussion. So I'm just going to kind of lead the discussion. Hopefully these questions will, I think tonight's questions will certainly spark some conversation, I think, in this room. If you're all silent while we're talking about this, I'm going to be real nervous, I can tell you. So I hope you don't do that to me. But if there are other questions that come up, I brought my notebook where I keep all my important notes. If there are other questions that come up, we can add to those questions. Or if you didn't get a chance to submit a question, you can let me know. So what I did is I took all of your questions and I organized them in groups topically. I tried to group them up so we can deal with things topically together. So we won't necessarily deal with one question. Some of them are big questions that will require probably a whole night. And then others are questions that I can kind of group into one discussion. It's interesting that all the questions I received, they were all different except one group of questions that were nearly identical to one another, or at least dealing with the same subject. And in fact, this particular question, I'm dealing with it tonight because it was by far the most popular question. It accounted for 20% of all the questions. And the question is, and I'm going to just sort of distill it down to what I think the real question is, because the question was kind of vague in some instances. But the question is about Christians and substances. More particularly, when the substance was named, which I think is what all of the questions were about, but more particularly when the substance was named, the question is about Christians and marijuana. Now, I'm surprised that was the most dominant question of all the questions I received. I don't know what that says about this group. I don't know. I think we're all just wrestling with how to answer the question. And it really is a legitimate question though for us, because this is as marijuana or cannabis or however we want to describe it, as it becomes more available and it becomes legal in most places. In Maryland, it is slated in just a couple months. In July 1st, it will be fully recreationally legal in Maryland. It's already been decriminalized as of January 1st. So as it becomes more available, as it becomes legal, people are asking, and I think it's a good question to ask. Christians are asking, how do we respond, or how do we handle, maybe respond isn't the right word, what do we do with this? Like, what do we do with this subject? And so although the subject was specifically dealing with that one substance, I think I want to say that everything that I say tonight, and hopefully this entire discussion, I think it's never isolated to just one substance. This is something that we deal with. We could say that the answers I'm going to give you tonight can apply to marijuana, alcohol, prescription pills, caffeine, bacon. Really, you know what I mean? Like, we can apply this to a lot of different things. The truth will be the same for all those things. So the main question, basically, I think, is it sinful? Is it sinful to use marijuana? Can a Christian in good conscience do that? Another question that was submitted, and if I mention your question and you want to clarify or add to it, do it, because I don't know who gave me the questions. I'm just working off of the questions, and I may make assumptions that are wrong. But there was one question that I lumped in with this group that asked, let me get it specifically. I believe it asked, what is the role of substances, or let me see, how do these substances relate to spirituality? I think that question means, is there any role for substances in spirituality? And I think what's being asked there is, and if you're in the room, you can tell me. You don't have to. But I think what's being asked there is like, can substances help me be more spiritual? I think that's what's being asked. So because some people think that. I mean, there are certainly people like, and there are certain substances and certain drugs that people believe help them to be more spiritual, or help them to be closer to God, or have spiritual experiences. All of you who watched Young Guns when you were back in the 90s or whenever that was, remember the scene where they all took peyote?
Yeah.
And so, you know what I'm... yeah. Okay. That sounded more like a, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think peyote would fall outside of the realm of this discussion right off the bat. But so anyway, I think that's what that question is. So basically, we're dealing with the issue of can a Christian consume substances that I guess can have the potential to affect you, your mindset, your body, whatever. Can Christians ever consume drugs that alter your body and mind? I guess that's the broadest way to ask the question. Does that make sense? Because I don't want to just narrow it down to one substance, because I think that'll defeat the whole thing. But I may come back to that question more specifically. So we have to have a starting point to answer the question. The starting point that I would ask, or the place where I would begin, and this is the appropriate place to begin, is ask the question, well, what does the Bible say? And since specifically it was asked this way, what does the Bible say about using marijuana? To which the answer is, not a darn thing. Specifically, there are no specific mentions, obviously. There's no, another way of asking that is there a biblical prohibition against the use of marijuana? And again, the answer would be no. There's no explicit biblical prohibition against marijuana. But it's important to note that just because the Bible doesn't specifically prohibit something doesn't mean that we should do it. You know, there's lots of things that when we talk about specific things that the Bible doesn't mention specifically by name, but we can know by understanding God's will of disposition, by reading the whole counsel of God's word, we can know and come to a position on things based upon that. So just because there's no specific prohibition, that doesn't automatically mean that we can just say, well, there you have it. You can do whatever you want. You know, that's not what that means. And this is a good example also of the truth that there are a lot of things in life as Christians that are not black and white. You know, and so I want to also just say as I begin, you may completely disagree with what I'm about to say. Perhaps you will. You may completely agree with it. I don't know. But we all, I think, have to be honest enough to say this is not a black and white issue. This is not just a... It would be much easier if we could open up our Bible to chapter and verse and see either thou shalt not or thou shalt. I mean, it would be much easier to do that, but we can't do that. So this is not a black and white issue. So I want, as we have a discussion tonight, as I talk, and as hopefully some of you do as well, can we all agree right off the bat that we'll just live and offer each other grace here, that this is not an issue that's just spelled out in black and white. So we need a little grace when we move through this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to move through different issues, answers to this question, or ways to look at the question, and I'm going to move from the easy, low-hanging fruit to the more difficult things. And so the first thing that I want to deal with, whenever we deal with the question we've already dealt with, is there a specific text or prohibition or something like that in Scripture? No, there's nothing specific. So then the next thing we want to talk about is what's easy to understand about substances, any type of substance that we put in our body, and that's the issue of intoxication. So when we deal with alcohol, for instance, it would be, I think it's impossible for you to come to a position that the Bible demands abstinence from alcohol. I don't think you can arrive at that position. I think you can arrive at that position by conviction that you decide for you and maybe for my kids or whatever. Like, I'm not going to consume or use alcohol, but we can't come to a direct a place where we say, you know, it's prohibited scripturally. But we do know that intoxication is prohibited explicitly. We're not to be intoxicated. We're not to come under the controlling influence, as maybe that's a better way of putting it, to not to be able to come under a controlling influence of some substance. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, very familiar verse, Paul says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." I think that's easy to understand. Wouldn't you agree? Like, do not get drunk, for that's debauchery. And debauchery just really means behavior that becomes excessive to the point of immorality. So if you're getting drunk, that's immoral. That's sinful. Paul says that very specifically. He says, but instead be filled with the Spirit. So there's also a juxtaposition there about what's controlling you, what's filling you. Is it some substance or is it the Holy Spirit? If the whatever substance you're putting in your body begins to take control of you, then you're in trouble. That's where we've crossed a line, whatever that substance is. And so we can say, if we're moving from easy subjects to difficult subjects, we can ask the question, or we can deal with the subject of intoxication and know right off the bat, you can't allow a substance to control you. So when it comes to cannabis, marijuana, THC, however we want to describe it, if you're using that substance and it is, you're arriving at a place where you are no longer you because you are coming under such an intense influence that it's changing your character, your mindset, you're no longer able to function the way that you would, then you've crossed a line into somewhere. Right away we can say that's out of bounds. Will we agree with that? All right. Second thing that we need to deal with then, and y'all, please, if you've got something to say, please say it. The second thing is we need to talk about the issue of, is it legal? And this is any substance. Again, by the way, we're talking about just broadly. And you may say, well, why does that matter? Like, why do we have to answer that question? Well, because the Bible says that we have to submit to the governing authorities. So it is an issue of, if you're using any substance and it's not legal for you to do that, and you do it, even if you're not getting drunk or you're not intoxicated, if you're using a substance that's illegal, you are rebelling against the authority of the government. And that in itself is sinful. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17, Peter says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor." So it's very clear that he's saying you have to submit to the laws that govern you. I don't suppose we all like all the laws. Do you? I don't like all the laws. Like, I'd like to not pay taxes. Wouldn't you guys like to not do that? Like, some of you business owners especially would like to not pay taxes. And there's other laws that we can think of that we don't like, but we're not exempt from them just because we don't like them. So we have to answer the issue of, is it legal? And we have a responsibility to submit to the governing authorities. Now, this is where the question is becoming difficult for us, because in the past, this is where we could stop. Or in fact, this is where we could begin, really. In the past, somebody might come to me and say, "Pastor, I like to smoke a little weed sometimes and relax, and I just feel like I don't know if that's okay or not." Well, it's a very easy question if it's illegal. If it's illegal, it's illegal. You can't do it. You're not allowed. And it's sinful behavior to do that. But the problem is now, or I don't know that it's a problem, but the issue is now, is that it's legal. So now what do we do with something that formerly we didn't even really have to think about because we could default to the position that it's illegal, you shouldn't do it. But now suddenly it's legal, it's permissible. The government is saying, go ahead, do as you please. And so, like I said earlier, for us in Maryland, that means that it's been decriminalized as of January 1st, and as of July 1st, it'll be fully legal for use for any adult over the age of 21. So we'll have to answer that question, and in a couple of months, we'll be saying, yes, it's legal. So the government is permitting me to do it if I want. So that we're going a little bit deeper into the more difficult questions. And if you have your Bible, you can open to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And you guys have been doing this in Sunday school. You should all be familiar with these. But the next question, I think, is for us to ask, again, not just with marijuana, but with any substance, whether that be alcohol or caffeine or whatever. The next question that we need to ask is it wise? Is it wise? And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, somebody can read that for me. Let's try to get two different translations if we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Somebody want to shout it out? Okay, go ahead.
All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything.
All right, good. Anybody have a different translation?
Mm-hmm. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything.
All right, good. Those are two good translations for us to hear. In the ESV, if you look at the ESV, if you have that, and I'm not. Maybe other translations have done the same thing, but you'll notice that the statement "All things are lawful for me" is in quotations. You see that? And it appears again in chapter 10, which we'll go there in a little bit. But the reason it's in quotations is because it's believed that that was sort of a mantra of the Corinthians, or something that was said commonly amongst them, that it was a way of excusing bad behavior, which was just, hey, like, anything goes. All things are lawful for me. And Paul is countering that by saying, well, you say all things are lawful, but then he responds by saying what? But they're not all helpful. So you can't, just because it's permissible doesn't mean that you should do it if it's not helpful. And then he repeats it again and says, essentially you say, all things are lawful for me. And then he says, but I will not be dominated or controlled by anything. So he's saying there are things that are okay or that are permissible that you're allowed to do. There's no law against it. You're not sinning by necessarily doing it, but you may be harming yourself. It may not be helpful to you. And also, if you're allowing yourself to be dominated or controlled by that thing, and then you're also in trouble. So is it wise? I think a question to be asked is, why is it being used? Why? There are some answers to that question that sort of make things very clear right off the bat, right? If somebody comes into my office and tells me they're struggling with this, and I say, well, why do you want to use marijuana? And they say, because I just want to get wrecked every night. I'm too tired of thinking about things. I have a stressful job, and I just need to check out, turn my brain off, and be a zombie. I would say you can't do that. That's not a good reason. It's not even permissible. We've already covered that. But suppose there's other reasons. There are medical, legitimate medical reasons to use all sorts of different substances. Yeah, there are all sorts of. I can tell you that not too long ago, I was in visiting somebody, and I went to the doctor with this person, and the doctor literally said, I was actually kind of taken aback. I'd never heard a doctor say this before. But literally went through a laundry list of different things and then said to this person, not my mother-in-law, by the way, if you're trying to figure this out, but because this could apply to her as well, but literally said to this person, the best thing I can do for you is I can give you some cannabis tablets and they will help your situation. This was a medical doctor who told this particular person, the best thing I can do for you. So, I mean, prescribed in a pill from a doctor, I mean, that seems very legitimate to me. I mean, it could be, we don't seem to blink at Tylenol, ibuprofen, codeine, Oxycontin. So there are places where we ask the question, why is it being used? There's probably some places where we would all immediately say, okay, that could be legitimate. Is it helpful? Is it actually helping? Or is it just sort of like an escape mechanism like we covered before? But then also, are you being dominated by this substance? And that doesn't always mean physical addiction. You know, it can mean other things. It can mean psychological addiction, where it's just literally like, I want to have this thing, and can begin to dominate your thoughts and can begin to dominate your behavior. But are you being dominated by it? And listen, this is something, by the way, you know, I said this can apply to lots of things. I mean, this could apply to your cell phone. This could apply to your television. There's so many things that we could ask ourselves. You know, is this helpful to me, and am I being dominated by this thing?
What about bacon?
See, bacon's another good thing. Bacon, that's a good, yes, food. I mean, I'm not in great shape, but I try not to be a glutton because that's sinful to do that. Nick? Oh, good. I didn't see you over there.
Yeah. I actually found another verse. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour."
That's right. Yeah, you want to keep your mind clear, be able to think clearly. Did you have something to add, or are you just pointing me to?
Well, no, I was just going to add to the asking yourself, is it healthy in the long term? Because
mm-hmm.
I think that plays into what Chris said. Bacon, cupcakes, Mountain Dew, Coca-Cola,
right.
Yada, 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 yada. That opens up a whole list of things. But if we're partaking in something that does give us a relief, but it may destroy us in the next decade,
right.
It's something that a wise Christian should be considering.
Right. Agreed. So... let's see, which question was that? So the wisdom of it. Are you being dominated or controlled by it? And then I mentioned 1 Corinthians 10. If you're in 1 Corinthians, turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23. And let's do that again. Let's do two different translations. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. And somebody can read that for us. If we have like a more literal translation first, and then maybe a looser translation. Second. Okay, go ahead. Just verse 23. Yep.
All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up.
And read verse 24 as well.
Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor.
All right. And somebody got a different looser translation?
The message.
That's not a translation. Yeah. That's a paraphrase of a translation. Go ahead, Chris.
I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others.
All right. Did you have the message pulled up?
No, I don't.
Oh, I was curious what the message said. The message is not a translation of the Bible, though. I meant that when I said that. It's a paraphrase of the King James Version. So this passage that we just read brings up another issue, and I think it falls under the title of wisdom again. This brings up another issue and again, you see Paul make that same quote, you know, all things are lawful. And he repeats, but not all things are helpful. Then again, and he says, all things are lawful, but not all things build up, or not all things edify. And the idea here, and if we could read on, we're not going to for the sake of time, because I do have one bigger passage I want to get to. But here we're talking about the context of, is my behavior edifying to others around me? Is it helpful to others around me? And that leads us to discussion of the issue of the weaker brother. And we go to, that's in chapter 8, so you got to rewind a little bit. Go to chapter 8. And we're going to begin in verse 4. And this is a long, long passage of scripture that I want us to hear. We're going to go from verse 4 down through verse 13. If somebody, again, if we can read that and be good to do it from two different translations, I think that's helpful. But let's talk about the weaker brother, beginning in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4, and read down through verse 13. Anybody want to give it a go? Okay, go ahead.
As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience be weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither, if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man sees thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend.
All right. Somebody else? Give me a looser translation of that.
Yeah,
what do you got? Okay.
Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged? If his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols. And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble.
All right. So what is the argument that he's making here? What's the substance of what he's talking about, this issue of eating meat that's been offered to idols? Can we eat that meat? And what's the broad answer?
Sure.
Because it's what? It's just meat. Like it's just meat. He's saying, like, just because it was sacrificed to an idol, the idol is nothing. And we know the idol is nothing. And so based in that knowledge, you can eat the meat if it doesn't violate your conscience, because it's just meat. It doesn't matter. But then he goes on and he brings in this other issue, which is, but what if somebody who's not as clear on this issue sees you eating that meat? And let's apply the principle before we go on. Let's apply the principle to this discussion that we're having. So the principle is this thing permissible? Within, you know, obviously I think we could apply some of the other things even to eating meat, right? Like, don't want to eat the whole cow. Like, you don't want to eat till you go in a meat coma. Like, there's all, like, obviously you don't want to do an excess. So we applying all those things to this, we say, is it permissible for me? The answer is yes, it's permissible. If I've asked the question, is it helpful to me? Perhaps there's a reason it's helpful to you. Maybe you have a medical condition or whatever, and it's helpful to you. You've asked the question, am I being dominated by this thing? And you can answer and say no. So you've arrived at a position where you say, this is permissible. My conscience is clear. I can do this thing. But then what he says is, that's not the end of the discussion. Because you have to also think about others when you think about this. And is your behavior, what you're doing, is it causing someone else to stumble? And it really doesn't just mean, he's not just meaning, like, in this context, we might think that we might apply that and say, that means what I'm doing is somebody else is going to do it too. That's not necessarily what's being meant. It's just mean, am I causing someone else to look at my behavior and causing a crisis in the way that they see faithfulness to God or unfaithfulness to God and those type of things? Like for instance, I had a youth outreach worker that we worked with in West Virginia. He was actually an employee of World Vision, but we had contracted him to work for several churches. And I went into Applebee's one night and in Elkins, way up the road from our house, where he probably was assured nobody who knew him would see him. And I went into Applebee's with my family, and there he was sitting at the bar. And so I just had a discussion, because I don't think that the consumption of alcohol is sinful. He clearly wasn't drunk, but I did talk to him about, hey, you know, you got to operate in a little wisdom here. Like, what if one of the kids that you're ministering to had come in here tonight and you're sitting at the bar, you know? So there are other things to consider about other people seeing behavior that we're doing. And although it may not be necessarily sinful in and of itself, it can cause people to have issues in their understanding of what it means to follow God, what it means to be faithful, what it means to be sinful or not sinful. And he ends by basically saying, the conclusion is, if my behavior is causing someone else to stumble, I'm not going to do it. Period. In fact, he goes, I mean, this is an extreme statement, right? As it is for me. If food makes my brother stumble, I'll never eat meat again. Huh? That's a big thing, yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. But so we have to answer that question, are we harming others in our behavior? And there are ways, that's also not a black and white answer, because there are ways to mitigate that. We can't always not do things because some people are offended, because some people are going to be offended by everything that you do. And there are some people who fall on the side of legalism, and we need to not encourage legalism and all those things. Terry?
I hope this doesn't come out as being legalistic. But, and I think this was happening here with the Corinthians talking to Paul, because they kept going back and forth with a bunch of questions.
Right.
And it's almost like they were trying to get as close to the line as they could without sinning. It's kind of like, what can I do sexually before I get married?
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How much can I drink and still be not sinful? And I'm not saying that drinking is sinful, but, you know, in my experience, if you have to ask those questions, then there's probably something not quite right there. You should probably step back and ask that. Is that wise? It may be permissible, but is it wisdom to do it?
Yeah, I agree. So there is that question when we're talking about the wisdom of something, doing something, participating in something. We do have to consider others as well in that equation. It's not just about what's lawful for me. It's about thinking about the other person. He says, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. And so we need to think about our witness. We need to think about there's a difference between things you do in your own home. I mean, my dad, when I entered ministry, he had a very clear discussion with me about what you do in your home and what you do publicly. And that's not about hypocrisy. It's just the truth that some things are lawful, are not sinful, but they're taboo culturally or within the culture of the church to do, and they can cause problems. And so, but we do, that's a legitimate thing to consider, though. We don't want to harm people's conscience, and we don't want to cause people to stumble. And so that's something that we consider. Does it edify others? Are we harming others? Now, having said all of that, if we return to the original question, we're very close to our end time, so if you have something you want to say, now be the time to do it. If we return to our original question, you said, Pastor, can a Christian consume cannabis? Can a Christian consume caffeine? Can a Christian consume alcohol? Is it sinful to do that? My answer to you would be, it is not necessarily sinful for you to do that. If you have decided, number one, with a clear conscience before God, that you can do that. If you know that it's legal for you to do that, the government is permitting you to do it. If you're not taking it to excess, if you're not being controlled or intoxicated, if you're not harming others, if there's a useful reason for it, you know, there's lots of different questions you have to ask. It's not necessarily sinful. So there's a sense in which, after all that I've said for the last 40 minutes, there's not really an answer, is there? Like, it literally is, and it's not a cop-out to say this, it literally is always a case-by-case basis. We want to be careful. Let me say this as we close. Let me give you one other verse. I'll just read it for you real quick. It's from 1 Corinthians 10 as well, verse 31, where Paul says, so whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, and that just literally means everything, every activity of your life, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if you're doing something, here's a good test for you. Not just when it comes to marijuana, but anything. If you're about to do something, and with a clear conscience, you can give thanks to God, and you believe with a clear conscience and clear heart that you're able to thank God for this thing and do whatever you're about to do and give glory to God in it, then you're probably in a pretty safe place. If you feel like what you're about to do pricks your conscience and you can't say, thank you, Lord, for this thing with a clear conscience and a clear heart, then you probably shouldn't do it. But a lot of those things are in the gray space of your individual conscience. And you have to decide where that line is for you. There was something else I was going to say. I got off on that, and I can't remember what it was. Does anybody have anything to add? Do you want to add?
I've got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I may be diving too deep into it, but, you know, like if you had a drink, mm-hmm. if you're not drunk,
right.
you know, one drink, that would be perfect. If you smoke marijuana,
mm-hmm.
you're high.
Well, not necessarily.
Is that, I obviously don't.
I understand. That's the common argument. The common argument made by people who oppose the use of cannabis in particular is you can't use it without getting high, and you can use alcohol without getting drunk. Right. And that's just not, it's just not true. It's just not true. It can be, but it just depends. I mean, it's not, you know, for those of you who are a little older than me, the cannabis of 2023 is not the cannabis of 1969. I really mean that because I have people in my family, my brother, and particularly you all know my brother's story. I think you do. My older brother's story with addiction and lots of really hard substances. And for him, he's able to use medical cannabis in a way that prevents him from, I believe it saved his life, literally. When he got out of rehab the last time, he got a medical marijuana card because he really probably just wanted some substance, honestly, and he was using it, and it wasn't doing anything to help him, and he was in withdrawal from Suboxone, and he told me he literally went to the dispensary and said, if I don't have something today to help me, I'm going to relapse. Is there anything you have here that can help me? And they gave him something, and he uses it every day. And he says, it's completely taken away my desire for opiates. I don't. And he said, and I can tell you from being with him a lot, I don't ever think he's high. I don't ever notice anything wrong. He functions like a normal human being. And I think it saved his life. It saved him from a return to opiates, which would have killed him. And so, and there are other people who can share similar stories about it in different ways. So, I know people who use microdoses of THC to help them with anxiety. They're never high. So you can use, there are ways now that you can use it and just not be high. The mixture of CBD and THC counteracts psychoactive effects of THC and all those things. So it's just a different thing. That's the other thing, too, is it's been stigmatized. And we think of, like, the guy with dreadlocks sitting, you know, sitting under the pier, you know, like, but, right, or Willie Nelson, yeah, so it's been stigmatized, and that's the way we think of it, but there are lots of normal people who are using it medically now for good reason and for good measure, and also are not getting high, because a lot of people who want the medicinal effects and don't want to be high. And there's ways that can happen as well. Ultimately, if I was going to say anything to close, we're past time, here's what I'd say. Don't get drunk. Don't get high. You know where your lines are. You know where it is with alcohol. You may not know where it is with other substances because you don't use them. If you were going to say, Pastor, I just don't know, what should I do, abstain or not? I would always tell you, if you're conflicted over it, just abstinence is a good choice. You don't have to do anything. Just abstain, and you're safe there. So, y'all asked, I answered. All right, good.
It's just in 1 Corinthians, if we continue reading in verse 19, that it says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we have to glorify God in our body.
Correct.
So, just be sensitive to what the scripture is saying.
Right.
Because me, even if I have sip the alcohol, I can.
Right. Well, but that's what I mean. That's exactly my point. Is you all know where your lines are. If you can't have a drink, then don't have a drink. Like my brother will tell me, like he can't have one sip of alcohol. If he does that, he's got to drink until he's unconscious. So he can't have. There is no line for him. And you might be like that as well. And it may not just be drunkenness. It just may be like, it doesn't agree with me or whatever. But your line may be non-existent. Just don't do it. But there are legitimate questions. All right, we're going to hard stop here. Go ahead, real quick.
So for me, and preface this, I do not use marijuana. But I want to preface this by making this statement. So, not today. No. The thing...
Just so, peyote.
For me, it was always, you know, it was very hard. I grew up in North Carolina. North Carolina, when you go to church, alcohol is the devil's liquid. Mm-hmm. Anything harder than that, and you are the devil himself. That's it. There was no gray area. There was no other judgment. Now, it's very hypocritical. I will tell you that. Because you just mentioned your body's a temple. They would gorge themselves on the worst food I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Sweets, bread, doesn't matter what it is. And I know they've had coronary disease, you name it, after whatever. And then to be able to point your finger, and I always question that. How can you do that? Yeah, point your finger. If you don't point your finger, but you're eating healthy, that's fine. But if you're not, keep your finger back on yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're the biggest hypocrite this walk here. I'm sorry, it just is. From that standpoint. And like I said before, I do not do that. But I'm just saying.
Okay, Chris, we believe you. No, I'm just I'm just kidding.
That's the question. I think that comes from the church. One of the things, There was a lot of judgment that went on about that while they were not living. They were not doing good with their temple. They were not taking care of their body the way they ate. So when you say you shouldn't do this, yet I'm going to pound bacon and sausage and sweets in my mouth, you're a hypocrite.
It's true.
That's what younger people saw, and that's how they rebelled.
Yep.
It's the same thing it is today.
Gail, last thought.
I'll make it really quick. I think there's also the issue that maybe something is not a problem for me, but if I know it is for somebody else,
right, exactly,
then I'm like saying, oh, yeah, you can do it, just whatever. No, I think sometimes it's better not to.
I absolutely agree. If I feel like something's harmful to somebody else in my life, I'm not.